Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined once again by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. With your bad back.
With my bad back.
What's happened, man?
I injured myself climbing on Monday morning by falling off. I wasn't very high up.
Okay.
So it was I just think I sort of like slipped, and then I think in the reaching to grab, I jarred it. Mm. And then as I hit the floor, I took a bump. I really hit the mats like boom.
Oh.
And it's not been quite right since. But then this morning I woke up and I was like, I feel fine. I'll go climbing. Three moves in.
Oh,
and now here I am. Scrunched up.
Man, I feel for you, dude. My back's really like stiff at the moment. Mm. And because like I had to do the news twice today because technical issues.
Ugh.
And I had to do the weekend video and I had to stand up while I was waiting for it to sort out. So I've been standing up and my back was wrecking by the end of it. I was really looking forward to sit down and record this.
Yeah.
So a nice weekend of doing little then to relax.
Yeah, laying flat, hopefully, would be my ideal.
Yeah.
I'm meant to be going to a birthday party this weekend on Saturday and then might go to Kew Gardens on Sunday for a little jaunt, but we'll see how the back is tomorrow.
Yeah.
At the moment, I just want to be lying flat.
Yeah.
That's all I want to be doing.
Very nice. In about 3 hours' time, I'm going to be heading to the train station because I'm heading to Mahuntleth in Wales, which is where my brother lives. And so we're going to go and spend the weekend with him. I haven't seen my brother since Christmas, so I'm really, really excited to go and hang out with him. But we did have like quite a lot of plans on like what we were going to do. And then he sent me this message that said, right now the BBC is saying that there's going to be near 50 mile an hour winds.
Whoa.
And a 98% chance of rain all day Saturday. And Sunday doesn't look much better.
Sweet.
So yeah, 50 mile an hour winds and 98% chance of rain. So, and we're going back on the Sunday. And so
Storm Gareth.
I'd imagine we're going to be playing a lot of games. I brought Smash Up and my expansion packs. I need to remember to take Keyforge. So, because my brother's got a couple of packs. We're just going to play games, basically, and watch films.
I mean, that's good. That's sort of like...
I'm stoked.
The ideal isolation time.
I'm stoked. Mm. Like, we just messaged back being like, yeah, maybe we should just like just play games and watch movies and drink.
That's all that happens every time I go around my brother's house.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why we were just going to go for a walk because we're going to Peru like in June. Mm. So we need to like do some treks. We need to like do some practice.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm not bad like with long walks. I'm okay. But my wife's quite wee. She's like... she's under 5 foot. You know, she's quite wee. We were in the Lake District last weekend and we like did a big hill climb.
Mm-hmm.
There were points where she was like, I can't climb much further because it's genuinely very difficult.
It's very steep. Yeah.
Very steep because she's so small. Mm. So I think she wants to do more sort of like hill climby training stuff. And this would have been really good for us to do it around sort of like, you know, in Mahuntleth. And go for like a nice long walk. But that's not happening. Mm. Absolutely, that is not happening.
You'll either get there slower, like a lot slower or way quicker wherever you're going. So.
Yeah. We've got a Rusev Hay in here from a Wrestle Talk writer, and he calls himself the head randical, Nate. And he starts his email, "Hi Randy, and none of you other guys."
Oh, Nate sent Randy a t-shirt.
He did, yeah. He did indeed. I want to tell you about a Rusev hey from 23 years ago today. This was sent on the 11th of March. I attended Monday Nitro in Winston-Salem. My buddy and I walked up and surprisingly scored second row tickets. Not long after the show started, I felt someone grabbing me. Before I knew it, I'd been thrown to the floor. I got up ready to throw down and scrambling to figure out who I needed to punch back. I looked up and realized who it was. It was Brian Pillman invading WCW Nitro. Instead of fighting him and getting my butt kicked, I joined in and I hold up one end of the 1-800 Pillman sign. So I got to be part of one of the most infamous storylines in WCW. Pixar, it didn't happen. Remember, this was 23 years and a lot of pounds ago. And that is a screenshot of, I'm guessing from the WWE Network, of the 1-800 Brian Pillman thing. And that right there is Nate.
Wow.
So congratulations, bud.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Brian Pillman was so cool. What a great angle that was as well. Like, fascinating to look back on. When we were doing the Patreon podcast for Bad Blood 97, the one with the Shawn Michaels Undertaker Hell in a Cell, first ever Hell in a Cell. It was the night that Brian Pillman died, or the day that Brian Pillman died. And me and Ollie just talked for about an hour just about Brian Pillman and like the craziness that he did and like how he really fell into that loose cannon storyline. Really, really interesting guy. They did do a documentary for Pillman called Loose Cannon, which has got some really good insights on it and some really good interviews. So if you are interested in the life and times of Brian Pillman, I would recommend that. And
there's 58-mile-an-hour winds outside this weekend. Maybe worth watching.
Maybe it's worth finding yourself something on the old network and just sitting down and watching that instead. Let's do this other Rusev Hey here. This comes in from Andy. Hello, Luke, Ollie, El Fakador, but not Randy Datsun. A quick Rusev Hey for you. I'm currently doing some architectural design work for Sheffield United to make their stadium Premier League compliant should they get promoted. Good luck with that, football banter. I have no idea.
Yeah,
they might be really good. I have no idea. I was asked to go to a meeting today and stay and watch the match from the director's box. I was on my own as my contract dealing... I was on my own as my contact was dealing with match day operations before the game began, so I took my seat early in an empty row. In front of me, I saw Mick Foley. He was a guest of striker Billy Sharp, who used the mandible claw as a celebration earlier in the season. I went up to him and said I didn't want to bother him, but I was a big fan. He shook my hand and was very polite before someone came and took him to his actual seat, before I could ask for a photo, or even said I wore my leopard print size homage to Cactus Jack's boots, although he did tell me to have a nice day. Big fan of the podcast for over a year now, and if Sheffield United do get promoted and my work progresses, I will become a Patreon backer. Keep up the good work. Sorry if we were a bit disparaging of Sheffield United. I don't know if they're...
I hope they do get promoted now.
Yeah, so do I.
I'm on your side.
Yeah, absolutely we are. I'm now an official.
Let's go the home team.
Yes, let's go home. Woohoo, home team.
Come on, you.
Home.
Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean, my only knowledge of Sheffield United comes from the full Monty, and that's because that's the team that they support.
Oh, okay.
Right, let's crack on into the main show itself. We're talking about the WrestleMania 35 card and potential matches that could join it. Here is the show. So we thought we would talk about the WrestleMania 35 card as it currently stands, and we'll kind of give sort of our thoughts on things as they are at the moment, but also go into some of the rumored matches that are currently lined up for things, and kind of sort of like see how we're thinking about Mania 35 currently. So the current announced matches, we've got Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. Seth won the Royal Rumble to get him this match. Mm-hmm. And currently it's been a match that has been, like, I feel that this... the Universal Championship match with Lesnar has kind of taken a back seat to Roman coming back and reuniting the Shield.
Do you think that's because they can't get Lesnar to appear on the show?
Well, that's more than likely the case, really, isn't
it? Should have got a better contract.
Yeah, because at the moment, like, Ollie always puts it best when he's like, Seth is feuding with Paul Heyman. Like, he's not feuding with Lesnar at the moment.
And Paul Heyman's just, like, digging up anyone he feels like to be like, come out here, do a bit of this.
Come on down, Shelton.
Come on, Shelton, you've got nothing else on.
And I kind of like, I really liked Heyman's promo on Raw, where he was talking about, hey, like, all those guys that have taken Lesnar to the limit recently, like AJ, Bryan, and Finn, they were all changed matches.
Yeah.
It was meant to be Braun. It was meant to be Jinder. It was meant to be someone else. Like, they were constantly trying to make this argument that Lesnar was on the defensive because he didn't know who he was going to
face.
Because
he hadn't prepared. He hadn't prepared
for
it.
Like you would for a fight, exactly. Whereas Seth, we've had time to prepare now. We've had time to train. We've had time to sort things out. And reportedly, I mean, Heyman said that Lesnar's going to be there this Monday, but, well, that remains to be seen because we had this a lot during the Roman feud last year.
Vince, I'm sick. I can't come in today.
If you're listening to the podcast, Lesnar didn't just walk into the studio. That was just Laurie doing
just a beautiful impression.
A flawless impression of Brock Lesnar. I kind of hope that Lesnar is there.
I hope so. This needs a bit of build, doesn't
it? This needs a bit of something, because also we've had Lesnar lay out Seth and then effectively put Seth on the shelf because his back was hurting. And we haven't really done much since. Mm-hmm. I think we're now like 20... At the time of this recording, we're like 23 days away from Mania.
Yeah.
And they need to get some fire underneath this feud.
Well, they do, because like the problem with the Universal title is it's been so mistreated in the Lesnar era by just not being a facet. That, like, when Roman won it before he had to go away to get his treatment, people cared only from the perspective of, well, that title, I'm just want it back on Raw. Just for the sake of the program, we need this title back. But we've had that now, and it didn't really, I don't think people came to it feeling like, oh, that's done loads and loads for it. So now, I'm even more apathetic now than I was before about the Universal title coming back to Raw. I'm just like, well, let's just get rid of it. Let's bin it.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because, like,
just tell Brock he can have it. You can keep that.
Because, yeah, it's like Lesnar's had, he had it since Mania the year previous when he beat Goldberg for it, and then held it for that entire year, beating Strowman, beating Joe, beating all of these guys. And we were all sat there going like, ah, yeah, but it's just that we can beat Roman at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And then Lesnar signed a new contract, so Vince pulled the ultimate swerve and gave Lesnar the win. And so we retained the title, which really hurt Roman, really hurt the belt. And it made, like, because they didn't have any plans to follow up on that. So Lesnar just wasn't there. He was there even less. Mm. That period between WrestleMania and SummerSlam was a bit of a dive period for Raw in terms of this brand has no direction. And as you say, Roman finally wins the belt at SummerSlam. And sadly, with his leukemia announcement, the belt just went back to Brock and we're like back to square one again.
They should just put it on Braun at that exact... That's the point, to just put it on Braun a bit, see what happens. At least it's there. You build some guy as the top guy. I don't know. It's such a marked difference from like how the WWE Championship feels on SmackDown. That felt important when AJ had it. It feels important now that Daniel Bryan has made a new belt, because it feels important that some babyface at some point is going to go and win that and bring the old belt back and bin or burn the hemp one, getting everyone high. But like, that feels like a really important facet and part of SmackDown. The Universal title is not part of Raw.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And it just
means
that, like, you know, this could be a brilliant match. It's like, you know, it's one of those ones where I think Brock Lesnar will be into it, and therefore you'll actually get a good match out of him, because he decides on a person-by-person basis of like, you can go, we'll go. So this could be a really good match, but for what? What's the prize? It seems like it's a rubbish prize.
There is no way this match will headline the show. There is no way. Because there was talk of like, it's either going to be this or it's going to be the triple threat.
Yep.
It can't be this. No. This match has got it's got no heat behind it.
It depends on how stupid they've made the finish for the triple threat, I think.
Well, let's move on to that, because that is Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's Championship. I don't think we need to go into the craziness of this story, because that ground has been trodden many, many times before. We've discussed this in great detail on pretty much every show we've been doing since the Royal Rumble. But it's been a very convoluted storyline. It's been needlessly silly. Mm-hmm. Becky essentially made fun of it on SmackDown in her promo, where she was like, this was dumb. And she was like very flippant and like, I was suspended. I was suspended again. I was arrested. And so she knows it's dumb. I think everyone knows it's dumb. And you and I discussed the Ronda thing last week, which I'm still not massively fond on. She followed that up on Raw, but they edited a lot of that on SmackDown. So I feel like this match has lost a lot of its luster since the Rumble.
Well, it was stupid, because they tried to create the same sort of buzz that they got by accidentally not being allowed to have the match at SummerSlam. Survivor Series, that was it. Sorry, Survivor Series, just because Becky got injured, right? So like, there was all this buzz about it, and then everyone went crazy when it couldn't happen. That was when it got the hype became even more real for it. But then they've tried to artificially create that same hype while still talking about it and constantly featuring it as a main part of the TV programming. The better thing to do would just be like, Becky wins the Rumble, you can leave it a few weeks, then we start to build for a couple of weeks, then we leave it for a few weeks. And like the less you touch this,
yeah,
the more it just remains this thing people want to see. Especially yeah, if you don't add Chuck a Charlotte Flair into the mix. It's just like, whoa, we're just mixing it up now.
Yeah, and I get the Charlotte inclusion. I really do, because that's what they wanted to do. Like last year when Ronda joined, they were like, cool, we're going to build to Ronda versus Charlotte at Mania next year. So they stuck to their guns. Like they think that's their big money match. And fair enough, Charlotte's a star, whatever. But
she also deserves to be in, like, she's someone who deserves to be in the first ever women's main event main event of WrestleMania, if that is what's happening.
Yeah.
She deserves that.
I completely agree. But, like, the story was almost set up there for them. Becky won the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
She wasn't meant to be part of it. So Charlotte was like, well, why was I thrown out? You weren't even in this match. Set up a match at Fastlane, do an F finish, and then do the triple threat. But no, we won't get into it because we've trodden this ground many times before. But I do think
so hard not to, though.
Yeah, so hard not to.
It's like a scab that I can't not hit.
So I do hope that they manage to get back some of that heat, some of that Survivor Series heat that we had to build up to this match. Because at the moment, it is starting to really cool off. Becky in particular has really cooled off. Up next, it's Shane versus Miz. So this is, you could argue, has been building since November, from Crown Jewel up until now. But as me and Ollie were talking about in the SmackDown review, I think a lot of this has been, like, a lot of the best in the world stuff was pushed to the side so we could do the tag team stuff. Because all that tag team storyline was about, I want to impress my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about the best in the world trophy. It wasn't about any of that. It was like, I want to be a good son to my dad. And I want to make him proud. And now that that's the tag team split, they're back to being, oh yeah, I'm the best in the world.
Mm.
So it's had a very up and down storyline.
Unless Shane wants to impress Miz's dad.
That's what it is.
That's it. He wants to be the new son. It's a doppelganger thing.
He loves Miz's dad so much. So I think this will be a good opening match to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be a solid little opener. Would it be a good opener? Because usually you want to put because they did AJ versus Shane in the opener a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought that really set the pace for like the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm putting Shane into that position as well. I do think this is quite heated, though. I think Shane had some really good heat from SmackDown from after the Miz beatdown, and he was really got great heat at Fastlane because it was in Miz's hometown.
I think like the Revival Black and Ricochet would be a opener
if that is one of the matches we're going to get.
If that was something that was going to happen, that would be a good opener. I just think I just don't know.
Shane has a buffer match, mate.
If Shane has enough opener star power for me, I get that he'll probably jump through something, but then that feels like that spot is somewhere in the middle, but I'm not overly fussed by the match.
But also, that's babyface Shane, right? That's a babyface spot to do the big elbow drop and things like that to get the crowd popping for you. If you want to work a heel, you don't do those spots to get the crowd turning
against
you.
But does he do anything else?
Well, terrible punches.
Yeah, that's it. So maybe
and a float over DDT that works 50%
maybe
of the time.
Maybe he goads Miz into jumping through something.
That may be.
That's the ultimate heel work.
You do Miz doing the flying elbow through the announcer's table. That'd be great. That'd be a great WrestleMania moment. I'd like that. We've also got Batista versus Triple H. What a shocker. Triple H's feud is the one that's the best booked and has all the best segments. Funny that, isn't it?
Give me what I want.
Give me what I want.
How did he produce so much spittle?
He was very, very phlegmy. They've had three great segments thus far. The SmackDown 1000 segment, the beating up Ric Flair segment, and this past Monday with the Give Me What I Want, which has become a bit of a meme now. I've seen loads of people doing various different versions of Batista shouting, Give Me What I Want. And I think that this could be a really, really good match. A really solid middle-of-the-card match.
I think this is just a nice, if he says, this is the final match, this is like the last match of my wrestling career, and hopefully the last match of yours. Like, this is just two very well-regarded guys and a genuine movie star turning up. Like, this is, you know, this is The Rock with a flamethrower, but he's getting in the ring. You know,
yes, exactly, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. It'll just be, I think it's just going to be a great spectacle to see. And, like, hopefully Triple H is on form rather than like the crown jewel kind of Triple H.
Well, yeah, but that had a lot of things working against him.
It was
two old fellas across the ring and Kane, Undertaker, and a torn pectoral muscle.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic.
I don't put any of the blame on him, really.
No.
I think with Triple H as well, Triple H has got this kind of WrestleMania mentality as well, that he has to go out there and do a 35, 40 minute match.
Mm.
And sometimes that's not always needed. Yeah. I think the Seth match is the best example of that. That was a match that did not need to go half an hour. That match needed to go 15, 20 minutes, and it would have been so much better. You could have shaved a lot of time off of it.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope that we don't get a 35 minute Batista Triple H match, because that will just be a lot of stalling, a lot of rest holds, and I don't want to say keep it short, but I wanted to give it a decent amount of time.
Well, it's no holds barred, is it?
Yes.
Match. So I feel like there's going to be a fair amount of just knocking each other about.
Exactly, like. Yeah. Getting the sledgehammer out. They can get a good 5 minutes out of the sledgehammer, I suppose.
And, yeah, I think it will at least have that sort of like fun crowd interactive element where they'll head into the crowd.
Oh, they better do.
They'll do some crazy stuff. But hopefully, yeah, they are paying Batista by the minute and can't afford more than about 15, 20.
Yes. Let's hope so. And also, we've got AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. This was announced just yesterday. We're recording this on Friday, so it was announced on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's now official, AJ versus Randall. It is a match that, on paper, I'm not massively excited about. I'm not the biggest Randy Orton fan. I'm a huge AJ Styles fan, but this match has been sort of like thrown together at the last minute. Almost feels like it doesn't feel like we've been building to this match, apart from the last couple of weeks. It doesn't feel like these two have been sort of at loggerheads over here and over here for all of 2018, and now finally they're going to clash. Mm. Just 2 weeks ago, Randy went, "You're a knob," and AJ was like, "No." And then they added tete-a-tete in the ring.
Gotcha!
And then they had the bit at Fastlane.
I'm very aware that AJ is capable of getting good matches out of everyone. Like, Randy Orton is someone who I feel coasts a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he just sort of... he's a very good character. I didn't mind all the sort of creepy lurking, sticking his finger in.
Oh, mate, that heel character was awesome.
But there's just like, we should do that. Should have been a thing, like a proper thing. Yeah. With I'm going to kill... there's all these legends that have returned to SmackDown.
Yeah.
I'm just going to knock them all off. Like, I'm going to do a sort of legend killer thing again, but even further down the line. Like, I'm just annoyed now that you've gone away and come back, and I've been here the entire time and you've usurped my position.
Yeah, me and Ollie had the exact same thing when we were doing last year. We're just like, this could be a really interesting character, but they effectively just dropped it.
Yeah.
And just went with, oh, he's now just a lad again.
Yeah, it's because they felt like they were building to Rey, and then they just went, we won't do Rey.
Yeah, they didn't do the Rey thing,
we'll do
they?
Rey and Andrade because they can do Canadian Destroyers, so. We'll have one of those every week.
Randy Orton ain't doing no Canadian Destroyer.
Randy Orton barely does the things Randy Orton normally does.
But this is a match that, if he'd have told me this 10 years ago, let's say not 20 years, let's say 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got 2007 AJ Styles versus 2007 Randy Orton. Like TNA versus WWE. Mm. It really feels like this should be a big, big match. And I think that they did a really good job on SmackDown of kind of getting that across, of trying to build this as a, not say a TNA versus WWE match, but very much this, you were in the bingo halls, you were this, you were that, I was headlining WrestleMania. So I think there's something they can do. If we can carry on that great promo game, we might be able to build some really good heat towards this.
Yeah, hopefully they just turn it up now, because so far it has just felt like, well, you've sort of been in the ring together recently, so there you are.
There you go.
Have a match.
I've got high hopes for it, I'll be honest with you. And speaking of high hopes, Buddy Murphy will be on the kickoff show, defending his Cruiserweight Championship against either Cedric Alexander or Tony Nese. John Cusack himself.
Well, Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander tore the house down at Super Showdown.
Yes.
So... that's a great kickoff show kind of vibe.
Yep.
But I wouldn't mind seeing Buddy Murphy versus Tony Nese. My God.
Yeah, I think I'm actually leaning more towards Nese, because the Cedric thing we've seen a lot before.
Mm.
Like, we saw a lot of Buddy versus Cedric last year. So I'd kind of like, Tony Nese feels like it'd be something a little bit different in there.
Yeah.
I'd like the idea, though, of playing off that Cedric won the Cruiserweight Championship at last year's kickoff show. So there is some storyline you can play off in that. Mm. And to be honest, I expect it to be Cedric Alexander.
I expect it to be Cedric just for the sort of I think for being a tentpole of the Cruiserweight division, he'll probably get that that tap. But I also don't think I don't get behind Cedric in matches for some reason. It's just there's just something not clicking about his character. He's just not he's like almost too baby face.
Yeah.
It's just, he's so baby face, he's bland. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
He does nice flips. But
here's what I want. I want it to be Cedric Alexander. I want Cedric to win the belt. I want Buddy Murphy to be part of Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Being a part of the, quote, main roster.
I wouldn't mind if this was a triple threat.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a great shout. Doing it as a triple threat would be really cool. But I want Buddy Murphy on the main roster. I want Buddy Murphy in that IC US title picture, just having great matches. Because he is. He's so good. He's so good. He's too good to be lost in that 205 Live, like, vortex of when no one watches.
Well, he's just like a perfect sort of, like, you got a Neville-shaped void on your thing. Like, he's a great guy to just stick in that sort of, you know, that ilk of, especially when you got Ricochet and Black and, you know, if Gargano comes up or stays down, whatever, like that sort of level of person coming through. Buddy Murphy can hang with those guys.
Yeah.
And he also knows those guys. But, like, you know, he can hang with them definitely in the ring. And it would just, that's just going to be amazing mid-card kind of action.
Yeah.
Jinder.
If your SmackDown, like, US title picture is Joe, Andrade, Rey, Buddy Murphy, and Ricochet.
Oh.
Like that right there. It's just, that's gold all over. Nom, 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 nom. Feed it all to me. So now we'll go through the speculated matches. One of which we're pretty sure it's going to be the case. It's Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. If it's not this match, this company can do nothing right.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be this match at this point. And I've got to be honest, it's got to be Kofi winning.
Yeah.
I think Kofi needs to be the guy to dethrone Daniel Bryan.
I think even just for the night. You know,
yeah,
I don't think
WrestleMania moment.
It doesn't even have to be like
a 6 month reign.
Yeah, it just has to be a couple of, like, till the next pay per view, and then Daniel Bryan can have the title back. But you need to capitalize on this momentum now, because someone skyrocketed because he was just there.
Yeah,
and he's just like, they've been such a safe pair of hands, the New Day, that I think they are eternally over. I don't think they could. There's nothing they could do really to fall out of favor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why not strap a rocket to Kofi Kingston now? And then you get to have the New Day coming out, like, to open your... Like, imagine opening SmackDown with segments involving the New Day like they normally do, but then they get to main event as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a solid idea.
I'd like to see Kofi get a longer run than just a month. Mm. But what I don't want for Kofi is... And I'm going to use a name here now, and I'm not comparing Kofi to this name I'm about to say, but I'm going to use it as a verb. I don't want to see him Benoit'd in that I don't want to see... Like, Benoit won the title at WrestleMania 20. Then by, like, SummerSlam, he'd lost the belt to Randy Orton. And then... The WrestleMania the following year, he was in the opening match. Like, there was no, like, trajectory that was upwards for Benoit. Benoit went up and then instantly came crashing right down. And then before you know it, he was just sort of forgotten about and just moved, you know, oh, you do this over here, you do this over here. Whereas he could have been, like, a much bigger star. And this is the same with Kofi. I don't want to see Kofi win the belt, take it through to SummerSlam, lose the belt, and then just go back to being your New Day guy and then never being in that WWE Championship picture. However... I do want to see him win. I do think we need that moment. And I'm with you. And I think that having him open the show as champion will be a really nice sight.
I think that would be an amazing opening match. Like that. I think if you just did that to start WrestleMania.
I agree with you, but I think Kofi is so hot at the moment. Yeah. You kind of want to wait for
you
that
do what
moment.
If you pay that off
right at the start, you could burn the crowd out.
Yeah, but imagine if the Ronda and Becky thing with Charlotte still had the same heat behind it.
Then
you could do this, and then you'd have Seth winning in the middle somewhere, and then you'd have this at the end.
Yeah, completely agree.
People would go nuts.
I completely agree, but problem is we haven't got any fire behind Seth, and with the Ronda-Becky Flair match, I feel is losing fire.
Yeah.
It's almost at the moment that the Kofi should be headlining at this point.
Yes, but definitely. Yeah,
yeah. I think Kofi Bryan at this point almost should be headlining the show. Mm. But we'll see what happens on the night. And we've also got the Boss and Hug defending their women's tag team titles reportedly against. And it feels like this is what they're setting up. Versus Iconics, Nia Jax and Tamina, and the Divas of Doom, Natalya and Beth Phoenix, which I think will be a
match.
It'll be a match. They'll get 7 minutes, maybe 10. And I'd imagine Boss and Hug will probably retain. But at least Iconics get on the card, so that's nice.
Yeah. And
it'll be a nice moment for Beth Phoenix as well.
I feel like that's just too many things. Like, you know, when that's like... I hate tag team four-way matches.
Oh, well, think, we're like, probably going to have quite a few of them, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, they're just messy. And, like, it depends, like, especially when they're doing the four corners, like, anyone can tag themselves in. I just get like, oh, my God, this is too many moving parts for me.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, the Revival, one of the rumoured matches is Revival versus Black and Ricochet, but I can very much see that being turned into Revival versus Black and Ricochet versus Chad Gable and Bobby Roode versus Hawkins and Ryder or something along those lines for the tag titles. Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio, that kind of felt like it was set up on SmackDown. I can see that turning into a multi-man match as well with Andrade in there, R-Truth in there as well, maybe someone else, you know, and maybe that'll be your WrestleMania ladder match.
That would be an opener as well, like, because you would have R-Truth come out first.
Yeah, exactly. If you had the seven-man match for the US title and it's a ladder match, 100% that should start the show.
Mm.
Yeah, completely. Even if it's actually the four-way.
They should chuck stuff in there like that. I think, like, let's have some ladder matches and let's have some crazy stuff. Yeah.
Asuka currently doesn't seem to have any direction, but what a lot of people are speculating is it might be a triple threat of Asuka versus Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville. Fire and Desire are very much splitting up. That was set up at Fastlane and carried on SmackDown. The problem is, though, people have messaged me going like, oh, surely it's going to be a triple threat. And I'm like, where's the drama? Asuka's beaten both of them.
Yeah.
And worse still, Asuka is then the third wheel to a feud between Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
I just stand at the back.
She's the least important part of that match, and she should be more important as the champion.
Well, the problem is they're using all the SmackDown women on Raw, so that's you know,
true, yeah.
And then Raw also now has the women's tag title, so there's no one really for Asuka to face beyond Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, and the other name you've got written down there.
Which reportedly at one point was going to be Lacey Evans. So it's going to be Asuka versus Lacey Evans. That's what all this walking up and down was leading to. But according to Meltzer, wrote in The Observer, that match is not likely now. So it feels like if they're going to do anything, it will be this triple threat match. But I'd like to see it be, I mean, Ember Moon would be great, but she's injured.
I think it should be Shayna Baszler. And I think that should be her debut.
That'd be...
I think Shayna Baszler... Like, Asuka
an open
Asuka
challenge.
Comes out and does an open challenge. Yeah. And Shayna Baszler, having lost the title the night before, but she wasn't pinned, walks out, pins Asuka, wins the championship.
That'd be great. I'm all for that.
Strap a rocket to Shayna Baszler.
And Lashley, who's just won the IC title, possibly against Finn Balor in a rematch. But the reports are... WrestleVotes reported that there are big plans for Balor at Mania, which could include, there was an advert that was released for the WWE Network that featured Finn Balor advertising WrestleMania. So there is every chance we could get Lashley versus Demon Balor for the IC title, and we'll get like the big Demon Balor entrance.
I love how
Mania.
That's like big things at Mania. Oh, it's like he always painted himself.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they've been building this, like, Finn can't beat Lashley. Like, that's the storyline that we're telling here, is that Finn is rubbish and can't beat Bobby Lashley. He had to beat the manager in order to win. He had to beat the manager in order to win the belt. And then when it was just a one-on-one match between Lashley and Balor, Lashley dominated for 95% of the match and won. Like, the story, and the commentators keep saying, Balor is not strong enough against Lashley. So then you tell the story that Balor needs to get the demon out in order to beat him. I don't really care.
But if the demon comes out and squashes Lashley, I'm into that.
Like, yeah, like a 30-second match.
I feel like it's what a waste of a winning of the IC title. Like,
yeah, it should have been his first win more than anything. Like, he still didn't win it with the handicap match, and just like, this would be the first title win. Would have been much more effective.
I just think, he's okay at, like, you can grind him down just enough to then do the demon, everyone suddenly forgets all of that, and then he wins the title, and everyone's like, oh, brilliant. Balor.
And of course, there's Roman, who could be Drew McIntyre, or more likely Baron Corbin, and maybe there'll be some Dean involvement in there. There's a lot of moving parts for Mania.
So there was a thing I saw earlier as well, that potentially Baron Corbin was being earmarked for the match against Kurt Angle, right?
Yeah. Kurt Angle's retirement match, which also, it could be John Cena. That's the other name that's been thrown around.
I would prefer to see that match.
Yeah, I would certainly prefer that than Baron bloody Corbin.
Drew, I would have liked.
I'd have loved it to have been Drew. Mm. Like redo one of like his classic TNA feuds. Like someone suggested Samoa Joe and like really relive the Joe Angle magic of TNA. The series of matches that really put TNA on the map in 2005, 2006. I'd like that. 2006, already more than 2005. 5. I'd like to see that match more than I'd like to. Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle. Can you imagine Kurt Angle's last ever match?
Baron Corbin in his waistcoat.
Oh, yeah, the waistcoat.
Put Baron Corbin back in his regular clothes.
Well, he can't because he's got a gross tummy, I guess. That's why they didn't put him in that
top. He's got like vests. Let him wear a vest.
I know, but like they decided to go with this gimmick. I don't know why they made him wear the vest in the first place. I guess Vince clearly doesn't like his body shape.
He just doesn't like him, yeah.
Yeah, he just... And that's the same reason why Killian Dane has put a t-shirt on. Mm. Clearly, Vince does not like the way that he looks and made him wear a t-shirt. Yeah. I know Killian Dane tweeted saying, like, it was my choice. Balderdash, mate. I don't buy that for a second. This is a company that has got a track record of making wrestlers change their appearance because Vince doesn't like the way their body looks. So, I don't know. Husky Harris is another one. Anyway... That's kind of like the main layout of the WrestleMania card at the moment. The reports are it's going to be 17 matches, which is a lot of matches.
Yeah.
For a show that's going to be, what, 8 hours? Maybe yeah. 7 hours last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you're in the UK, I suggest changing your, like, become diurnal or something.
Yeah. God, that was a rough one, because I watched it at yours last year,
yeah.
And then I came straight to work and did a news episode and then fell asleep on the sofa. Don't know what I was thinking.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble, where you, the Swap Nation, send to us your crap gimmicks, and then we, the bookers and promoters of crap gimmick wrestling, review and decide whether or not we want to sign them.
Yes! Yes, he nailed it.
Nailed it that time. That was genuinely a first timer.
That's like if someone does a catch and they say ninja. Like, you know, it devalues what you did to have pointed it out so profusely.
I don't care. I was very happy with that. I've had a long day already and my voice really hurts. So send them in to luke@wrestletalk.com. That's luke@wrestletalk.com. Massive backlog, about 250 emails, I think, in the backlog currently. Ooh. So we're going through them chronologically, but also picking them out randomly. August 14th, Steve Squires sent in, I would like to introduce you to my crap gimmick. A team known as the Agitators, comprised of the Instigator and the Catalyst. The team is the ultimate in stirring the pot, creating dissension amongst the roster and rarely getting involved in fights themselves. They wear simple brown outfits to match the fact that they are both crap stirrers and come to the ring to the song Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac. The Instigator is the leader of the team and utilizes his promo skills to spread lies about what other wrestlers or teams are saying about another, banking on the fact that the wrestlers will never actually communicate and instead fly off the handle and attack each other. The Catalyst then gets into the ear of both parties. The Instigator calls out, reinforcing and escalating the lies to a boiling point. Once the fight breaks out, they slink to the back, looking for their next targets.
Ooh.
Oh. little pair of knobs is what they are.
Yeah, I quite like it. It's like it feels like almost a riff on the Puppet Master kind of thing that Smash the Champ has been doing. But yeah, like, yeah, I'd like
but a crap version.
Yeah, like a crap version. But like, I'd like a team that sort of did that. Like, you know,
yeah,
sneaky heels who were very much just whispering into people's ears.
That's, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Like,
removing the sort of competition, having them feud to open up a route to the titles is a very cool idea.
They had a character back in sort of 2000, I think it's 2000, Joe Just Joe was like his backstage guy that was very much just like a hate. It was a don't shoot the messenger gimmick. That was his thing. It was like, don't shoot the messenger. This is just what I've heard from. And so I kind of like that aspect of the instigators and the agitators as a tag team. I'm going to totally butcher this name, so I do apologize. Eugene Chen? I guess that. Yai Jin Chen, maybe? I'm very sorry, but thank you for sending your email on September 8th.
Thanks,
Chen. Yeah. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. My suggestion for the crap gimmick roster is a Russian babyface brute called Conrad the Comrade. His ring attire is a huge red and white furry coat with black straps and gold buttons. Of course, there is the obligatory Cossack hat. The reason he's a babyface is the fact that although he is a foreigner, he loves Western culture as well as his native country and is a hugely popular with American fans celebrating Christmas and Thanksgiving. He will cut promos with a Russian accent, and it will lead to him getting over his catchphrase, "Glory to the Motherland." The motherland he refers to is the wrestling ring.
Aww.
In the ring, he is huge with a ridiculous amount of muscles, wet black hair, and crazy gleam in his eyes. He wrestles barefoot like Matt Riddle, but despite his size, he is a softie inside, and his entrance music is a classic Russian folk tune. His signature move is the Russian doll, a consecutive 5 delayed suplex, the nutcracker, a package pile driver, and his finisher, the vodka splash, a huge splash from the top rope. He can face off against heel Westerners who are mad that a foreigner can get over it and insist that Conrad is really the enemy. Thanks, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I love anything Wrestle Talk, and I'm trying to convince my parents to let me become a pledgehammer. I look forward to hearing your criticism. Thanks, Yijin Chen. Again, I'm very sorry if I got that wrong. Yijin Chen.
Cheers, Chen.
Cheers. Thank you for your email, and thank you for your suggestion. Very rarely would you see a Russian gimmick in which he is proud to be Russian, but also is a baby face.
Because
like Kozlov, although he was Russian, his gimmick was not like, I'm a Russian, therefore I'm a good guy. His initial gimmick was, I'm a Russian, therefore I'm a bad guy.
Yeah. I'm Russian. Take that as you will. Yeah, yeah. It'd be really interesting to actually have any sort of European other or any kind of other in WWE that is not branded as
you're the baddies now
because of where you're from.
That interview with Rusev he did with Lillian Garcia's podcast, where he was like, I was really getting over as a babyface, but Vince McMahon made me heel because that's what he does with foreigners.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how to book people.
Yeah, he just sees them as like, well, they're not American. Guess they're bad.
Yeah.
And you're a heel now, I guess.
That doesn't fit into the two stories I've written down.
So that was Conrad. I like the name Conrad the Comrade as well. And our last one comes in from Sam Pemberton from November 17th. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. Longtime fan, love the show. Gutted I wasn't able to see you guys in London. Well, fair not, Sam, because we may have some news about that coming soon. And also, if you are around on March 22nd, next Friday, I am going to be doing a introduction at the Prince Charles Cinema for Street Fighter the movie. I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be selling my book, telling stories from the people that I interviewed. So come down and see me there. I hope to see a lot of you and say hello.
Cool, man.
My cheap plug.
Plug, plug, plug.
Plug, plug, plug. My crap gimmick is as follows. Not my crap gimmick, Sam. My crap gimmick is bad plugs.
My crap gimmick is this book I wrote one time.
Hey,
know?
Man.
I am joking.
It's up there. It's very good. It's been hit by Nikki's face. He writes, once a mild-mannered, highly successful doctor whose birth name has long been forgotten, Sick Note's life was drastically changed one day when he found out a cursed old doctor's journal that formerly belonged to the doctor of a traveling wrestling company. The cursed journal, upon further inspection, reveals a patient chart with facts about the patient and includes a section of long lists of wrestling moves with tick boxes next to them. When ticked, applies said wrestling hold maneuver to whoever's name is written under the patient's name. During matches, he simply writes down his opponent's name and watches as they sell the move, such as submissions of their own.
It's like Death Note.
So it's like Death Note, yeah. For more complex moves, or one that requires a second person's assistance, Signote could be dodging an opponent's attack while trying to tick a box, does so, drops the journal and pen, and then performs a move on the opponent. His finisher is in a clothesline called the Flatliner, and his signature move is a stretcher. His signature match is a stretcher match. I'm happy for management to decide what sort of look you want for him to have. So yeah, so it is a play on Signote being ill, and Death Note, the anime series in which you write down a person's name and that person will then die. Great little anime to a certain point, then gets very silly. Well, it doesn't get silly. It stops. It finishes a story that you're invested in. And then it's like, we're just going to do the same story now, but with a different person who's less interesting. And I'm like, well, I've seen this. I've seen this before.
Unfortunately, the gimmick of a Death Note book is limited.
It didn't need to be like the 50th episode.
Are you going to write
either.
In it?
Yes.
Are you going to writing it now?
No. There was some. I thought the first half of it though was really good. And the Netflix movie. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I thought it was fine. I like Adam Wingard. So anyway, it was fine. It really was fine. I've seen it on the big screen. It looked really good on the big screen. It would be fair. So that's Signote.
I like it.
I like Signote's my favorite of the three.
Yeah, it's my favorite of the three as well. I think it leads to a lot of fun.
Yes.
I think it leads to a lot of very similar to some of the New Japan, like weird, crazy...
Like the DDT style stuff. Yeah.
Facing a blow-up doll.
Exactly, yeah. Really DDT like style promotion. I like that a lot. I think that could be a lot of fun. Let's go with Signote. Signote it is. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community section where I will find, curate, and read out on here. That was also a first take, I'll be honest with you.
Boom. First time, every time.
Jonathan Hedman asks, will we get a podcast review of Captain Marvel? You will. It was on yesterday's NXT review, in fact.
There you are.
I thought it was a 3.5-star movie. Really like Brie Larson. Craig Roberts asked, I watched a news video on YouTube you did regarding equal pay in WWE and wondered how exactly can men and women fairly earn the same amount of each money each month. What needs to happen in order for parity, or will it be based on gender regarding pay? I think essentially what Craig Roberts is asking is how can WWE do equal pay? It's by doing it.
Yeah, it's contracts.
Yeah.
When you negotiate people's contracts, rather than just going, you're a man, you get more money, give the women more money, I guess.
Yeah, just give them the same amounts. Like, you are in this position on the card.
Yeah.
You do these amounts of pay-per-view matches a year, you get this much money.
Well, because it was in... So, who was... There was... So, Ruby... The Riot Squad were all on 80K or something. Who was on... Someone was on 250, like Bayley. Someone like Bailey was on about £250,000 a year. That is the money that Kurt Hawkins gets.
Yeah.
Kurt Hawkins mostly appears on YouTube.
Buying toys.
Yeah, buying toys.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't argue that it's positioned within the product. And obviously, like, Bailey's contract would be older or whoever. I can't remember which exact person it was. But, like, whoever's contract, you know...
Alexa Bliss?
Oh, it was Alexa Bliss.
It was Alexa Bliss,
who
literally
is, like...
She was champion for like a lot of last year.
Was basically running the women's division. Yeah. Has a segment on Raw every week.
Yep.
Basically, yeah. Comparative to Kurt Hawkins, who has a losing streak and
is very rarely featured on
and
TV.
Very rarely featured.
Just does
on
a lot
TV.
Of house shows, which Alexa Bliss is also doing.
Yes. So it's just that's the kind of discrepancy. Like, you know, Alexa Bliss is on the posters.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think that would be built into the contract. Is like, this is how important you are to us. So we should probably financially recompense you for that.
Exactly. There's a very easy way to do it. AEW are doing it. Like, it's really not that difficult to do. It's just it's very much an ingrained thing within our society and our culture that women get paid less.
Well,
because that's the way it's always been, and there are some companies that just refuse to change.
Well, and there's probably the difference as well. It's like there's some stuff that's been said where, like, men are more likely to ask for a raise. Like,
yeah, exactly.
There is a sort of inbaked thing in business where women are a bit more
coy about
they're
it.
Not, they're not inclined to ask for raises
yeah.
in a similar way that they might not apply for jobs in which they don't meet all the criteria.
Whereas blokes
are just like, I'll lie!
I'll just do it regardless. Connor Kieran asks, in terms of Twitter usage, do you think wrestlers should have a dedicated WWE handle that they use to stay in character and then a separate personal account for them not to be in character and talk about their personal projects and charity work, etc.? I like the idea, but I think it still, like, it just makes the WWE account kind of pointless.
Yeah.
Because why would you bother following that? Unless they were using it to further storylines, I guess.
I think, obviously, social media has made kayfabe incredibly difficult to maintain. Because people do want to...
Like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, people do want to post pictures of their lives. Hmm. Like, you know, Zelina Vega posted a picture of her wedding yesterday.
Exactly.
To Alistair Black.
Congratulations. Yeah. We know you're watching.
But she is... not friends with him in the product at all.
No, exactly. Like, yeah, she's managing Andrade.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it's that kind of stuff. Obviously, breaks the fourth wall. Mm. But you've just got to go, okay, well, I suspend my disbelief, and you have to think that certain things are part of the story and certain things aren't. Maybe there's just a little dot at the beginning of a tweet if it's part of the story.
Maybe, yeah. You need like a little signature. But yeah, perhaps Connor's got the right idea here. Mm. If you have a personal account that you use, but you also have one that is within character. I actually don't think it's the worst idea.
I think realistically, just commit. Like, Kevin Owens commits to the role. Like,
yeah.
Like, when he's doing, like, you know, all of his posts leading up to his return were just about his family, building on the babyface thing. And then when he returns as a babyface, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. Like, but when he's being a heel, he's a heel on social media. That's all you got to do. Like, there's plenty of stuff you can post about while still being a bad guy. You can still be like, I'm playing Mario Kart. Like, whatever it is you wanted to do. You know?
Also, Aleister Black, he's a foreigner. Not a heel.
Whoa.
Crikey. It does happen.
He is goth.
he's broody.
Yeah.
Magnus Bernstrom. Bernstrom, I'm going to say, because it's got the line name through the O.
Strom.
Strom. Hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and a big hello to you, Chopper, and everyone at WrestleTalk, except for Randy Dandy Randall Dortson. Good. I'm glad you pointed that out. AJ Styles has previously said in an interview that moves are easy. It's the little things that make the biggest difference. So I wonder, what are your favorite little things in a match and or small details wrestlers do during a match? Doesn't matter if it's just a cool spot during a match or if it's storytelling fitting for the storyline. So I think he's talking about like the examples that he gives, things like Omega falling down during the Rainmaker clothesline, mm-hmm. or Ciampa, Gargano sitting down next to Ciampa in the first match that they had to, like, you know, reference the Cruiserweight Classic. Mm-hmm. I think like the little things and stuff, Kyle O'Reilly selling for me is...
Oh, he's, yeah, on point.
Yeah, completely.
I love Kevin Owens putting one finger on the bottom rope.
Yeah.
That is such a simple thing.
So right? Good, but right, yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. That's a very good question. I'd need some more time to think about that, unfortunately. Anthony Marine asked, hey guys, my question is to you. Do you think they brought back Shelton Benjamin to remind the audience that he's around to set up Shelton and Angle for Mania for his last match? Personally, I find it better than wasting it in the last Raw match. Thanks, guys, in advance. I think if they'd brought back Shelton Benjamin to set him up for Kurt Angle, they wouldn't have just had Seth beat him convincingly and easily.
So I think another part of the thing... We were talking about Baron Corbin potentially being for Angle. Part of the reason they might have brought Benjamin back there is because of the team Angle thing and being like, well, Baron Corbin can beat up Shelton Benjamin on a weekly basis, and then that'll build some heat for Angle.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Good luck getting that Baron Corbin heat. Martin Ware asks, should Ember Moon be a contender for Asuka's SmackDown Women's Championship if cleared in time for WrestleMania? Abso-bloody-lutely.
Yes.
She's not over in the slightest because they brought her up and did sweet FA with her. We're now at
She had the least talked about winning streak of anyone I think I've ever seen. Like, she was like on a hot streak, and it was just like... no one cares.
She came in, she pinned the former women's champion like first night in and then did nothing. Mm. It's incredible how this company did nothing with Ember Moon after bringing her up to... What was the point? What was the absolute point in doing it? So yeah, I think she could be. That she needs... Like, if she came back now, there would be no heat for her. Mm. Other than she'd get the surprise return pop, that'd be about it. Which is a shame, really. Chris Smith asks, which non-WWE matches would you be most interested to see during Mania weekend? So here's the lineup that he is suggesting. Out of these matches, which are we most excited for? Will Ospreay versus Bandido at WrestleCon? Will Ospreay and Pac versus CCK, which will be Brooks and Gresham at RevPro? Lucha Brothers versus RVD and Sabu at United We Stand? Scott Steiner versus Hornswoggle at AIW? Crikey, I didn't notice that one. David Arquette versus Timothy Thatcher at Joey Ryan's Pen... Bloody hell. David Arquette's going to be bloody killed.
Yeah.
Because Timothy Thatcher, he's not messing around. He's not messing. There's no messing with Timothy Thatcher.
Destroy him. Elliot, Arquette lives for it, though. He loves it.
Did you see that interview that Patricia Arquette did where she was like, I don't like watching him wrestle? Because he had a heart attack. Mm. So she's like, I don't like watching him wrestle. He literally had a heart attack last year. So it's terrifying to watch him wrestle. Crikey. LAX versus the Rock and Roll Express at Joey Janela's Spring Break, and Low-Key and LAX versus Pentagon Tajiri and the Great Muta at House of Glory. Well, I think you can tell by some of our reactions, the Ospreay Pac versus CCK match at Rev Pro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as long as they don't do what they did at Rev Pro High Stakes, where I was so excited for CCK versus Aussie Open, and then they did it as a 20-minute comedy match with 15 minutes worth of stalling.
Mm.
If they don't do that, it will be an incredible match.
Yeah.
But yeah, if they go to the sort of comedy stalling, I'll be really annoyed because I love Aussie Open and I loved CTK, but it's just that match really was a letdown.
I Ospreay versus Bandido.
Oh, mate, absolutely.
I want to see how they defy physics to the point that they rip a hole in reality.
Bloody love me some Bandido, man. He's great. And Lucha Brothers and RVD and Sabu, we kind of talked about on the show before, being like, it has the potential to be either the greatest train wreck or just the greatest match.
Oh, yeah.
It could be awesome. But man, David Arquette...
That's just the level of intrigue.
David Arquette versus Tim Thatcher could well be this year's Walter versus PCO from Spring Break last year, which is just like, it was one of my favorite matches of last year because it was a match where you're just like, I don't know how either of you are standing up now. PCO's chest was gross. It was so disgusting.
He's a nut job.
He's terrifying. PCO, man. Juan Gabriel asked, once and hopefully Kofi wins the WWE Championship, who would you like to see be his first feud and challenger?
Ooh.
Good question, mate. Don't mind it. Who would I like to see be the first challenger? I think because he suggested someone like Mustafa Ali, but I think you want to have like a really big name that can challenge.
And a big name and a heel is what I want.
Like, I'd like it to be like Randy Orton.
I'd like it to be Bray.
Yeah, Bray's a good shout. You bring back Bray as a heel, yeah. I'd like Randy Orton, like a really established top guy that Kofi can beat and establish himself further as a top guy.
Yep.
I think it'd be really good. Plus, you get that nice poetic justice of like the feud that could have happened in 2009 before, you know, Kofi kept getting up when Orton wanted to do the punt. And that was apparently the worst thing that you could have possibly done. You must stop this push now. So I'd go with Randy. But yeah, Bray's a good shout.
Mm.
Team LOL asked, if you guys were wrestlers, which wrestler from any company would you be? Probably Raven, because I dress the same.
Raven. I would be any independent wrestler. Take your pick.
Take your pick, mate.
Yeah.
Really, I'm the Repo Man, because I bloody look like Repo Man. Dwayne Cooley asks, this is a question designed for Ollie, really, but Ollie's not with us today, unfortunately. But he's talking about how the retirement match that Kurt Angle has got, and he was asking, which five guys would you like to see retire him? Who would you rather see in the Kurt Angle match? We kind of talked about this briefly, like Samoa Joe, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, so you could either play on the history and have Samoa Joe. Drew, I would love, just because I think, like, I almost feel like the match where he tapped him out with the ankle lock should have just been the last match. Like, just do that, have him stand in the middle of the ring, get the applause.
Really establish Drew as
really
a top
establish,
dude.
Like, Drew. Instead of having Drew be a bit part player to Baron Corbin.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
My God. Like, I get that, like, yeah, Drew really came off badly in the Roman has to leave thing. Because it felt like Drew was being positioned to be, like, Roman's counterpoint. Like, his Joker, if you will. But, like, yeah, this felt... I think Drew would just benefit so much from it.
Yeah, he really would. And actually, John Cena. Like, I know, I would have liked to have seen someone who can use this match to get something out of it. Like, we're talking about, like, really establishing Drew as a top guy. Yeah. Like, John Cena doesn't need to beat Kurt Angle in his last match, but does play off quite nicely with Cena's debut match on SmackDown. So there's some nice stuff to be done with that. Ruthless aggression. It's when I wasn't watching WWE. Rockstar Dougal asks where I got that tremendous Sonic the Hedgehog Green Hill Zone t-shirt from. It's from Primark, actually.
What?
I got it. Let me think now. My mum was 60, so I would have been... So it was 3 years ago in Primark in Liverpool. Yeah, I don't think they do it now. I only found it in the Liverpool branch, funny enough. I'd seen it advertised, like some people had shown it on Twitter and saying this is in Primark, but I couldn't find it in any Primark store I went into apart from that Liverpool one. So I don't know whether you could get it from now.
There's either thousands out there Or one.
And I've got the one. But Sega do have a very good shop that you can get some really cool t-shirts from. But I'm not buying them from there because I've got enough t-shirts as it is. Noah Trombley asked, with the rumor that WrestleMania is going to have 17 matches, should WWE consider having WrestleMania spread across two nights and do both Saturday and Sunday with each night going about 4 hours? I've been pushing for this for years. Mm. I said this last year that it should be done over two nights. Wrestle Kingdom's being done over two nights next year, so it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out.
It is done over two nights.
You could take over, yeah. Do take over on the Friday. Like, no one gives a crap about the Hall of Fame. So do that on, like, I don't know, Monday. Like,
yeah,
well,
who cares? Do it online.
Yeah, do it for WWE.com with the network. Because who honestly cares about the Hall of Fame? Mm. So scrap.
They do.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Internal people.
I don't even think they do. Mm. So yeah, Hall of Fame on the Thursday, take over on the Friday, and then you do WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. And then granted, that's even more wrestling for us because then we've got like Raw and SmackDown the following nights and NXT on the Wednesday. But it is, I think...
It just makes it watchable though. That's the thing, it's like 7.5 hours or whatever it is. It's too much long. Time to sit and watch something.
It's too long.
Especially when you're drinking.
Yeah, right?
Like,
yeah.
3 hours in is where I'm flagging already.
Yeah, last year. Not only that, but like...
what's happening?
You try to prepare yourself as well. So you get like your beers and then we had like snacks and stuff. So we had like your little like pretzel bites and things
pretzel
like that. Little pretzel lads. And you have like your M&Ms and your things like that. But after a while, your stomach just goes like, give me something proper. Yeah, I need actual food.
Yeah, because you could have a 3-course meal for the first half of the thing and then watch the second half like normal and it'll still be fine.
There was a moment when we were watching it, I was like, I don't want any more Haribo. I was vegetarian. Like, I don't want any more Haribo, give me some beans on toast. My Harmon asked, hello chaps, are you going to NJPW Royal Quest and what are your thoughts? Do you think it will be a success? The US show's got a bit of a bad rap, but we are getting Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, Ospreay and Zack Sabre Jr. So I am excited. We are going to Royal Quest. Very, very excited for it because literally we can point to it like it is going to be over there through that wall.
It's across the river, the canal from us.
If I had a strong enough arm I could throw a stone at it, like it's literally next door to us, so we're going and we're very, very excited. And the rumor is that the US shows were a disaster because of the US visa issues that they had. Cheers, Trump. But the UK show, they've already sorted out the visas, and their plan is to make it feel pay-per-view quality.
Awesome.
So we're going to have like big, big matches this year. And so I cannot wait. A couple more questions. This one comes in from Assange. So I watched last year's WrestleMania, and after seeing all the matches, I got a little conspiracy theory. Ooh, love these. Do you think everyone on the card, including Nakamura and Styles, was told not to have the best match they possibly could have so that Ronda could steal the show to create more mainstream traffic and cement her as a star immediately? Would also explain why the SmackDown tag teams, who had a pretty run at the time, were just squashed by the Bludgeon Brothers in a nothing match. Well, the SmackDown tag teams got 5 minutes because that was the role they had to play. You were the buffer match.
Mm.
That's what that match was there
for. You're there for people to cool off.
Exactly, yeah.
And it made sense for the Bludgeon Brothers to squash them. Like,
yeah.
It just did.
And it was like, yeah, every match can't be like a big five-star match because people need to go to the loo. Mm. It's an eight-hour show. People need to go get food. They need to go get drinks. So that buffer match was there so people could go to the loo. Apparently it was like the longest queues of the night.
I think WrestleMania is obviously a high pressure environment, and I think the difference is probably most matches weren't rehearsed as much as the Ronda match was. The Ronda match would have been a year's worth, like since she signed, that was what they were planning to do.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, you know, beyond going, here's how you wrestle. Like they were like, well, let's literally step by step block out this
exactly.
Match.
That match was rehearsed within an inch of its life.
What it benefited from in that was it was an amazing piece of storytelling. Like it had peaks and troughs in all the right places. It lasted the exact right amount of time. And it just had that amazing moment where she gets in the ring with Triple H. Like, what do you want?
I was thoroughly sports entertained.
Yeah.
It was easily the best match on the card. It was in our top 10 matches of the year. I don't buy into the conspiracy theory that everyone was told to be rubbish so that Ronda looked better. Like, I'm not going to buy into that conspiracy theory.
But she looked good. That's taking too much away from her. I think, like,
yeah.
She's good.
Yeah.
But in a more rehearsed scenario.
That's it, yeah. It was completely rehearsed. And like the AJ Nakamura match, I said this at the time, that it felt like a disappointment because we'd all had so much hope for it. But also it was because it was setting up other matches.
Mm.
So you can't do all of your big blow-off match first because you had to do two more matches afterwards. In fact, I think they did like 12 more matches afterwards. Mm. So kind of burblic, I know.
And a lot of their, yeah, and then the final matches of that feud, I really enjoyed the Last Man Standing.
Oh, so good. It was great. Martin Ware finally asked, WWE just posted on Instagram, it's about Kurt Angle's last opponents. I was just wondering who you wanted it to be. I'd like it to be Buddy Murphy or Ricochet. Buddy Murphy's a good shout.
Buddy Murphy's cool.
A great shout. So Ricochet, actually.
But it's a shame about Ciampa. I would have liked it to be Ciampa.
Oh, yes, mate. Hello. So I'm a bit concerned about this podcast outro because fire alarm tests were meant to have started 12, was it, or 1?
12.
12. It's now 2:30.
So maybe they're waiting for us, I don't know.
Yeah, we did say, we asked if they could push them back to 2, but it's now 2:30.
So at any point now.
It could be, yeah, it could be taking a piss a little bit. Let's have another Rusev Hey here. This comes in from, I'm going to say Sam, although their email name is Gacha Lover. It's a gacha.
Oh, a gacha is a Japanese like vending machine games where like you put money in, you pull it, and a little capsule comes out of a figurine.
Oh, little capsules. Yeah.
But then games like Fire Emblem Heroes or other games that are gacha, like a lot of games are gacha now.
Put a little 50p in.
Yeah, exactly. So all those games where you like summon random heroes and stuff, they're all gacha games.
Fair enough. When I was in Canada, we went into a bookshop that had a gacha machine, but it was filled with haikus.
Mm.
So anyway, Gacha Lover emails to say, "Hi Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. This is my first ever Rusev Hey, so I thought I would share it with you guys. I was in a restaurant having dinner with my girlfriend and her sister when suddenly, out of nowhere, Santino Marella walks into the restaurant and sat next to my table. I went up to him and said, 'Hello, Santino, sir, huge fan.' And he replied, 'Wow, it's been a long time since someone's called me that.' We both started laughing and I took a selfie too. When I got back to my table, my girlfriend asked me, 'Do you know that guy?' And I said, 'Yep, he's one of the funniest wrestlers of all time. And no, Ollie, he was not alone. He was having dinner with his friends or something. Love the show. Have a good day. Thank you, guys.'"
His friends or something.
Yeah.
His friends or his captives.
This person says that they took a selfie but has not attached it. So, pics or didn't happen.
It is a lie.
Them's the rules, my friend. Them's the rules. Ashley emails in to say, "Hello, Luke, Ollie, Fakador, and Chopper. I've been meaning to send this Rusev Hey in for a while and had a little bit of digging for my pick or it didn't happen." See, this guy gets it, or girl, perhaps. A few weeks ago, you guys mentioned the idea of people seeing wrestlers in grocery stores, and I had to tell you about discovering one of my local wrestlers of my childhood. Growing up, I lived near the promotion Northeast Wrestling, and who would hold semi-regular events in the local community recreation center. It was a fun mix of talent and special guests like former members of WWE, Rikishi, Nunzio, Kevin Nash, just to name a few. I felt a bit Partridge when I was doing that.
Rikishi,
Nunzio, Kevin Nash.
Monkey tennis.
When we arrived to the meet and greet on this particular event, Spring Slam 07, if I remember correctly, everyone ran to get in line for their favorite wrestlers. I was caught completely off guard by my grocery store stock boy, Brian Anthony, putting out his merchandise. You see, my mum and I always ran into Brian at our local supermarket stocking the meat freezers. Over time, we became friendly with him, saying hello and chatting when we would run into each other. As a kid with no internet access or the concept of kayfabe, I could not wrap my head around the fact that I had just discovered his double life. Weren't all wrestlers just wrestlers, not stock boys living among us regular folk? I went right up to his booth and I said, "It can't be possible that you work at Shaw's down the road, right? You look like someone I know." Brian laughed and said, "Ashley, I didn't know you liked wrestling." I was dumbfounded. Not only did I actually know a wrestler, but he knew me back. We talked about him. We talked with him for a bit, not about him. We talked about him behind his back.
Talked about him to his face, but not including, him.
We talked with him
on Twitter.
We talked with him for a bit and he'd been training and working local shows and got a picture with him before getting our seats. He had a great match later on, warming up the crowd before AJ Styles and Samoa Joe tore down the house in the main event. Crikey, 2007, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. Yes, please, don't mind it, mate. I've met many other wrestlers over the year, but Brian is one of my most memorable because it was the first real person I knew in the wrestling world. As the years went on, we would talk about wrestling when we ran into each other, and even now when I visit my hometown and catch him at an event, I bring up the days when he used to call out the daily specials over the intercom like he was cutting promos. He still wrestles locally and has an upcoming match with David Arquette, of all people, who we were talking about in the ramble you were just listening to. Apologies for the long email and for the awkward preteen photo of my brother and I, Brian, LOL. Thank you for all the work you do. You guys are a fixture of my day-to-day life and you bring a smile to my face when I need it the most. And there is Ashley. Sorry, there she is. There is, with the chap Brian, who very much looks like a Hardy Boys fan. Mm. Yes.
So he's ripped off their logo.
Very, very much so. So yeah, apologies for reading out your email slightly poorly there, Ashley. Thank you very, very much for sending that in, though. Send in your Russo face, luke@wrestletalk.com. Let's have an 80% fact before we get out of here. This one comes in from Zachary, who says, "Hello, Luke, Laurie, Ollie, and the rest of the WrestleTalk crew. But I cannot stress this enough, absolutely not Randy. I hope you're all having a great day and week. I've got some 80% facts and a joke for you. Did you know that Atlanta spelled backwards is Atlanta? Also, the song I've Been Everywhere by Johnny Cash is about all the places he's killed someone." What? He says in the first he's a kill... one more, if you have the hiccups, drink some laxatives and you'll be scared to hiccup then.
I These think that aren't last, facts. I think just very much not even 80% facts. 0% facts, 100% lies.
Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And here's a joke. He says, "Why don't chickens wear pants? Because their pecker is on their head." Keep up the consistent podcast.
Animals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, Porky Pig didn't wear them. Mickey Mouse did, though. He wore little dungarees.
Donald Duck didn't.
No, Donald Duck did not.
Donald Duck is the closest we've got to chicken in our current listing of anthropomorphized creatures.
Did Scrooge McDuck wear...
He had a nice jacket. He was hanging out free and easy. He had a cane. He had it like... The top half gets fancier as you get richer in the duck world. The top half gets fancier, so it goes from Donald Duck wearing a little blue jacket to Scrooge McDuck wearing a top hat, a monocle, having a cane, and a
fancy jacket.
But he can't afford trousers.
Yeah, although Launchpad McQuack can wear trousers. Like he earns enough money by flying planes in order to be able to get trousers. A strange old world, DuckTales, a strange world indeed. Marcelino emails in to say, "Hey Luke, Ollie, Laurie," he says, "Hello Luke, Ollie, and Master Fakador, I mean Laurie. An 80% fact I heard from my friend when talking about how great health insurance is. He told me that in California, sex changes are free while cancer treatment isn't. I'm pretty sure that's fake news, but I've never found out." That certainly sounds fake, in all fairness. Don't think that's a completely correct one. Let's have another. I'm going to pick one at random. Let's have this one because it came in from Connor, who emailed into the podcast earlier. He says, "Mate just told me this one down at the pub. If you force yourself to eat 6 olives, you will like them." Now...
This is nonsense.
That's nonsense.
Not the way taste buds work.
That is nonsense. Although my mother-in-law, she loves olives, but she never used to like olives, and she just kept eating them until she liked them.
Well, that's what I did with coffee. Like, there is definitely a degree to which there are some things that are an acquired taste, and part of that comes out of clearly, like when you're a child and your taste buds are developing, very bitter foods. Very tart foods are quite difficult for your tongue to process. This is why babies, when they eat applesauce, it's so hilarious, right? And so as you age and your taste buds change, you slowly like more complex flavors. So like coffee, to me, when I was 21 and I started drinking it and I hadn't had it before, I was like, this is absolutely foul.
Gross.
This is gross. What is this gross mud?
Mad water.
And then you just keep drinking it and eventually... You get a little buzzed and you're like, that's fine now. I still don't think coffee tastes delicious. I'm not like, oh God, welcome to flavor country. But no, I am like, it is quite nice, but I really just want to wake up in the mornings now.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of a bit of a coffee convert, particularly because we get it free and it's lovely filter coffee. Yeah. But yeah, I found it was when I turned 30 that like I didn't like olives at all.
Switch.
I didn't like olives. I thought were gross and disgusting. And I tried every year. Every year. From about like the age of 22 until 30, I tried every single birthday pie every year. And I was like...
Luke sits down to eat a jar of olives.
And I was like, I'm going to try an olive. Eat it. That's gross and disgusting. And yet... As soon as I turned 30, I had an olive. Like, this is a taste sensation, and I love them, and I love eating olives.
Was it like a plain olive?
Yeah,
was it a plain olive. Green or a black?
It was green olive.
A green olive.
Black
green
olives
is like blacker, the more complex.
Yeah, a bit more complex.
Blacker
flavor.
For the true connoisseurs of olives.
Though I do like a black olive chopped up into a salad.
Oh yes,
yes, absolutely, mate. And the other one is mushrooms. Mushrooms for like my entire life, I've never liked mushrooms until I went vegetarian. And now,
and you can't actually, eat any, no, and there's nothing else to eat.
And I've had to. But actually, it was prior to me going vegetarian.
I'll die if
really.
I don't.
We'd gone out for a meal for my wife's 30th birthday, and we went to a very posh. We went to Tilney Hall, very very posh, lovely 3-course meal. And I had this big chunk of steak. It was like one of those big chunks of steaks that you have to share with someone. Like they won't cook it unless two people are having it because it's such a fine cut of meat. And so we had that, and it was served with a portobello mushroom. And I was like,
I do like a portobello mushroom.
I was like, oh God, gross. The mushroom's going to get its disgusting mushroomness over my lovely bit of steak. And then I thought, do you know what? You know, I'm 32. Let's give this a go.
Grow up, Luke.
Exactly. Grow up, Luke, for God's sake, man. So I cut it up and I had a bit with my steak. And I was like, what? What is this? I am now in Flavor Town. Like, this is a taste sensation. And since then, I've been like, mushrooms are pretty great.
It's helpful that portobello mushroom
are delicious.
It's like meat.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's the closest to meat you can get.
Yeah.
It's Soylent Green.
Oh, yeah. My wife does an amazing portobello mushroom steak, like with some lovely steak seasoning over it. It genuinely feels like you're having steak and chips. Portobello mushrooms can't.
That's not true. That's also an 80% fact.
That's a 100%
fact. 80%
fact. That's 100% fact. Although I did have, I went to Plant Kitchen yesterday. You know the new M&S range that they've got?
No.
They've got a massive vegan section now. And I got a.
They're taking over.
Yeah.
Oh, there's stealing my gimmick.
Bloody vegans.
I mean,
what? They've got a mushroom pie there. And I like pies. I like mushroom pies. And I got it home and it was, there were times where I was eating the mushrooms, I was like, this is gross. But there were other times where I was like, this is ace. So I'm still not 100% there with the mushrooms yet.
There are thousands of different types though.
There are indeed.
I guess that's the thing.
And I do bloody love, so one of my favorite things to cook when in the cold winter months is it's a Bosch recipe called Seaside Pie, where you essentially do a fishless fish pie in your place with mushrooms instead. And it is.
Not just sand, other things you find at the seaside.
Buckets.
Seaweed. jelly shoes. Oh no, they're probably not vegan.
Jam sandwiches that have got sand in them. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with the Raw, SmackDown and NXT reviews and another magazine show. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.